Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Let's pray. Father, as we look in your word, pray you'll feed us through the word today, equip us for what we're going to face in life this week. And Lord, if there's anyone who hasn't yet received Christ as Savior, we pray you'll help them to see their need today and come to Christ. Bless your people, encourage us through the word today, and feed us, we pray, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We looked last week in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17 about Christ being the creator, how that we believe in the Genesis account of creation. And there are many who are scientists who believe in the Bible and the Bible creation from Genesis. Over 1,000 are a member of a particular society on creationism who all believe in the Genesis account and believe what the Bible teaches. I read to you something I had from scientific creationism is the physical universe of space, time, matter, and energy has not always existed, but was supernaturally created by a creator who has existed from eternity. According to Genesis and Exodus, the account is that he created in 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. The phenomenon of biblical or biological life did not develop by natural processes from inanimate systems, but was specially and supernaturally created by God, the Creator. There are no transitional forms. You don't have anything walking around half of one kind of tree and half of another. You don't have a half monkey and a half man or anything like that taking place. Each kind of plant and animal was created functionally complete from the beginning and did not evolve from one other species to another. God created everything to bring forth after its own kind, not change into another species. First human beings did not evolve from animal ancestry, but were specially created in fully human form from the start. Fossils appear abrupt and fully formed without any transitional forms, and the Earth's history as preserved in the Earth's crust reveals a record of catastrophe, not a record of uniform gradual process with many evidences for a young Earth. That means that the atheistic unbelievers who believe in evolution teach that the world was by gradual uniform buildup over vast periods of time. But we believe that God created and then destroyed it with the flood, and that creates the fossil record that we see. Processes today operate within fixed natural laws and relatively uniform process rates, but there are evidences of catastrophes that may have affected the rate of change in process, such as the Genesis flood, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes. When Mount St. Helens erupted, it revealed a rapid and tremendous change of landscape that in a uniform process would have taken thousands of years to accomplish. Because of this, men are required to believe by faith what God's Word says. And if we reject creation, then why should we believe in salvation? It's important that we understand the teaching of evolution is a direct attack against God, the Bible, and the Christian faith. And if we're going to be believers in salvation and eternal life, then we need to believe all of God's Word. Colossians, we looked at Christ as the Creator. And in Paul gives 3 reasons why Christ is preeminent over His creation. And verse number 16 and 17, we saw that He created all things, visible and invisible. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18, He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And the word preeminent means first place, of first rank, the chiefest. And Christ is preeminent over His creation, first of all, because He's the Creator. He's the originator. He's the one who made things, and therefore He's preeminent over all of His creation. Secondly, He is eternal. He was here before the world began. He is before the creation, so He is preeminent over the creation. And thirdly, He upholds all things by the word of His power. It is by Him and His grace that all things consist and are sustained and continue as they have through these thousands of years. First of all, He's the originator of the creation. Whatever is visible or invisible, He created it. His power is revealed in creation. His knowledge is revealed in creation. You imagine God's knowledge to create the universe so that it all works together. Unlike what the evolutionary crowd teaches, this is not a result of a big explosion. The planets are not banging into one another like pool balls on a pool table. God set everything in order, and it works according to His plan with purpose and precision. It is not in chaos as they would have us to believe. What knowledge it took to create this. What power it took to create this. What wisdom it took. God has created all this for our good and for His purpose to be fulfilled. What love is demonstrated in the creation? Because God hath not forgot man who has failed, who has sinned. God loved us and gave His Son to die in our place that we might have eternal life. Christ took on flesh. The eternal Spirit of God took on flesh to be the man who could represent us, to die in our place as the one perfect sacrifice for man. By man, sin entered into the world, so by man the price had to be paid for sin. God could not just overlook sin because He pronounced judgment on sin. And the greatest visible description of the fact of God's judgment is that death came because of sin. And we see death reigning over men regardless of what their sins have been. Death still reigns over man. But God will give us eternal life if we put faith in Jesus Christ. His love is demonstrated in redemption, in His protection, and in His provision. God made this earth so that it could be sustained by Him, so that it could fulfill all our needs, and so that it could actually be filled in population. The problem with population is everybody wants to live in the same place. But the world is vast enough for not only 7 billion, but for 70 billion people to live on this earth. And the earth could sustain all of those people. God said, fill the earth and multiply and fill the earth. But men are worried about population because we all choose to live in the same places. You can't put so many million people in Fort Mill, friends. It just won't sustain, you know. There's a lot of hills and valleys here in Fort Mill. Anybody that knows the history here, Ira and some of you folks that have been around here a long time, Fort Mill was no good for cotton country. The South King was cotton. You grew cotton for money. And Fort Mill, you couldn't grow any cotton because of all these hills and valleys. So the close family, the Springs, Colonel Springs, World War I ace pilot, he shot down 5 German aircraft in World War I, but he wrecked 3 of the planes for England and America, so they asked him one time whose side he was on, you know. And he came back here, and with family wealth, they bought up everything in this little area because it wasn't any good for farming, and he built the cotton mill industry that was here in this place. And Fort Mill is growing. but it's running out of place. They've expanded the city limits at least twice since I've been here. And it went from 4,000 in the little town of Fort Mill to 15,000 in the little town of Fort Mill. But the surrounding area, of course, is much more vast than that. And but we may run out of land because everybody wants to live in proximity of Charlotte. But guess what? Between here and Columbia, we could move everybody that lives in York County, 250,000 people between here and Columbia, and every one of you could own 20 or 30 or 40 acres of land. And it could sustain you. You could plant enough food and kill enough deer. Daryl, you got one, didn't you? You got your deer. And kill a deer or whatever it takes. You know, as the songwriter said, the country boy can survive. You know, you can skin a fish or a buck or whatever it takes. God made the world to sustain us and to be here for us. And we could fill it with people. It's not overpopulated. By the way, you might as well go ahead and mark me down as a lunatic. I don't believe one word about all this global warming and all that sort of thing. I've seen the fallacy of all that and the falseness of all that and the money-making idea behind all that and the control of all that from the day it began. Rush Limbaugh taught me something about 30 years ago. I don't believe everything he says, and I don't follow him 100%. I'm a born-again believer. The only person I follow completely is Jesus Christ in the Bible. But I learned something a long time ago. He said, follow the money trail. If you see who's behind something, follow the money trail. See who's making the money off of it, and then you'll find out an awful lot about why they're doing what they're doing. God created this. He upholds it with His power. It will sustain us. We don't have to worry about that. And until He's ready to take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. The Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge. Can you imagine the immense number of stars that there are? They keep estimating more and more and more. There was a time when I was young that going to the moon was a Buck Rogers serial on the movies. And no man had any idea that it might really take place. And they thought there were millions of stars. And they thought we had one galaxy. And now they found there are more galaxies and there are trillions and trillions of stars. So many they can't count them all. And that's basically what the Bible said about them all along. And they reveal the glory of God. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 19 with me. Keep your bookmark here. We're coming right back. Romans 1, 19. There were times where everybody on the earth knew about God and salvation and the judgment of God from the flood and all that sort of thing. But what happens is people turn away from God, and after two or three generations pass along, the area is completely bankrupt of belief in the Bible and belief in God. In verse 19 of chapter 1, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I like that word, fool. The psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Some modern scientists, instead of calling themselves fools, call themselves atheists. They believe in no God. Well, you know, they probably don't have enough sense to come in out of a shower or rain either, you know. But they get to write the textbooks. We got three teachers sitting here in the congregation today that I know for sure, maybe more than three. I know there's three here. I'm glad these are people that believe the Bible and believe God and believe what God's Word says. The design and function of the universe reveals God's knowledge and wisdom and earth and all that God has made available to man. And it's not an accident that our temperature sustains on earth here for life, and that we have an atmosphere, and that rivers run into the sea. All of these things are by God's design, and all these things God made for us to enjoy. Jesus Christ is preeminent over His creation because He is eternal and He was before the creation. In John 8:58, He said to the Jews, "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He is the Alpha and Omega, Revelation says, the first and the last. It's hard for us to comprehend and to accept and to understand God being eternal. Our lives are not infinite, they're finite in the physical form. We only live a period of time. As I get older, I'm 64 years old, I read the newspaper, I see the obituaries, I see more and more and more people that die in their 50s and 60s. And I wonder sometimes, how much time do I have left? You say, "Oh, y'all not worry about that." Well, the Bible says to number your days. And there are certain plans you need to make. I don't think anybody ought to die and their family say, "Oh, no, we don't have any plan for this. We don't know how we're going to bury them. We don't know how we're going to afford this. We don't know how we're going to deal with it." You better get prepared because the day's coming where that could happen. Now, we might miss it because Jesus could come in the clouds at any time, take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. The more we see the swords rattling over around Israel, the more we figure the time must be drawing nigh. And we may go in the rapture, but some of us may die before the rapture comes. And we need to be prepared. Christ is eternal. And He made man to live eternally. You are an eternal being. You're going to live forever somewhere, either in heaven or in the lake of fire that burneth to punish the unbelievers. It's important, you know, Christ is Savior. That's preparing for the future, to know the Lord is your Savior and that you got a home in heaven to go to one day and a new body waiting for you. Thirdly, He's preeminent over creation because He holds all things together. He sustains the creation. You ever seen time-lapse photography of a clear night looking up at the clouds and you see all the stars just slowly moving across the sky as the earth rotates and you see that movement of the Milky Way taking place? It's a beautiful and an amazing thing. Alaska is a place where it's so clear because of all that cold up there on some nights, and the earth is seen so close to the sky, it just looks like a black felt with diamonds all over it, you know, and it's just that slow moving as the earth rotates. The rotation of our solar system. We have the earth's atmosphere contained and gravity given to us, and it all works in harmony. It's not in chaos. God designed it so. God made it so. God made all these things, and then He made man and put him in him and told him to fill the earth. And what did man do? Disobey God. And God put him out of the garden. And that's why thorns and thistles and briars and weeds and Johnson grass and all that stuff will grow up in your garden. You can plant a yard, you can put down sod, you can water it and fertilize it, and it'll die. But if you plant a garden, it'll be full of grass in no time if you don't get in there and weed it every day, you know, and work at it all the time. Well, that's a part of the curse on this earth, my friends. But thanks be to God, Christ came and died for us in this earth so that we can have eternal life. In 2 Peter 3, he says that His promise of the day of judgment, God's not slack concerning that promise. He's not slack concerning the promise He will come again. He said in 2 Peter 3:10 through 15, the heavens will pass away and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. The knowledge of this is to motivate us to holy and godly living. It says to us, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No sin, no wickedness, no evil. All those will be removed, and there'll be righteousness to live with God forever and forever. With a body like Christ's body that will last, it won't ache and pain like you're going through right now with arthritis and all the troubles of age and all that sort of thing. Hallelujah. One day that's all going to be gone. And the experience of death separating us will be over. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. and we'll be with Him forevermore. Be diligent, be ready, be looking, because God's long suffering is for our salvation. He has waited that you could be saved and I could be saved today. Thank God for that. And we may have to go through some difficult experiences before He comes to take us home so that others might be saved. But it would seem the day is close and we should be ready. Number two, Christ is the creator of the principalities and powers, dominions and thrones. All the unseen and invisible things, the spirit beings that are out there, He created them all. Angels. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Hebrews. Somebody put on the internet the other day that the husband is supposed to make coffee for the wife because the Bible says Hebrews. Angels, demons, Satan, cherubim with four faces and wings to fly, seraphim with three sets of wings, archangels. Michael is named as the archangel that will have war with Satan one day in the future. And Christ created them all. Hebrews 1 verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on My right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's you and me, friends. Verse 1 of chapter 2, Therefore, based on this, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first to be spoken by the Lord was confirmed unto us by Him, by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. Angels are the servants of God. Christ is superior to angels. They are God's servants. He is God's Son. Angels worship Him, verse number 6. By the way, He alone is worthy of their praise and their worship and their adoration. Angels do His bidding. They are His servants. Christ is on the throne of God. And Christ is the Son with whom God is well pleased. He hath anointed Him. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. We call Him the Christ. Means the same thing, the Anointed One of God. Verse 10, Christ is before the creation and will remain after the creation is gone. This world is limited, my friends. Everything you own is limited. Everything you own will rust, bust, and collect dust, and it'll all pass away in a pile of ashes one day. But Christ is eternal, and you are eternal, and it's vital you know Christ is your Savior so you live eternally with Him and not in the place of judgment. Christ is the inheritor of this world. He sits and waits while the Lord makes things come to the point that men will worship Him and declare Him to be God, to the glory of God the Father, and they shall praise His name, and He is exalted above all men, above all kings, above all lords, because He has the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To us as the heirs of salvation, we are given joint heirship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall inherit with Him. He is our elder brother who shares His inheritance with His family. And if you're saved, you're a part of the family of God. Thanks be unto God for the world to come. The Bible says in Revelation 5:10, I won't turn and read, but if you make a note, Revelation 5:10 and chapter 20, verse 6, tells us that we in the future shall be kings and priests, and we shall rule and reign with Christ. It is not angels that will rule and reign. It is we who believe that will rule and reign with Christ. Redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This creation belongs to him. He's preeminent over this creation. But he has made us a part of that, and he's going to share it with us when he creates a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to have places to serve with him as kings and priests in the new heaven and the new earth. Back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible tells us he's also the head of the church. He's preeminent over all creation, and he's preeminent over the church. Back many years ago, there was a Bible college down in Atlanta, Georgia, tried to get going, and they had more debt than they could handle. You buy land and buildings and try to educate preachers. You don't charge them as much money as you do secular universities. You don't take state and federal funding, because when you do that, they tell you what you can teach and what you can preach and who you can hire and all that sort of thing. And it went out of business. It closed. I remember going down to Atlanta when they had bought a building, and across the street there was a black congregation of Free Will Baptists. Had a very large church here in Atlanta. And the name of the church was Free for All Baptist Church. I thought, business meeting, Free for All. And then they had down on there, Free for All Baptist Church, Pastor Jesus Christ. I figured, you know, the pastor, maybe the deacon, somebody, I don't know, you know, they got together and thought about how, you know, they don't want to exalt man, they want to exalt Jesus. I thought that's a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, my friends. As a pastor, I'm just an under-shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. He's the one that gave his life for the sheep. He's the chief shepherd that's going to come back and reward us if we're faithful taking care of his flock. He's the one who is good to us and gave himself for it. Scripture reveals a number of metaphors for the church. It's called the family of God, the bride of Christ. We're called the sons of God, the flock of God, the building of God, the body of Christ with him as the head. The church is a living organism because you are the church. Not this building is not the church. This is the church building, but the church is the people who are saved and baptized in the name of Christ and who live for him and serve him. That's the church of Jesus Christ. He's the beginning of the church. Ephesians 1:4, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ established the church. In Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He gave his life for the church. He purchased us with his own blood. And he is the head of the church, the firstborn, the chief of rank over the church. He died and rose again with a glorified body, and by Him we will be raised one day, because He holds the keys of death and hell, victorious, risen from the grave. He's preeminent over the church, first place. Therefore, Philippians says in chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, God hath exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at His name every knee would bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father's pleasure that in Christ all the fullness of what God is in Christ. Christ is deity. He is the visible image of God. Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." God revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the firstborn, the Son. The disciples who were with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And they turned their attention to Christ alone. God has exalted Him, and we are His family. We are the sons of God by faith in Him. We are the family of God. Romans 8 says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, there is a division for all those who are unbelieving, all those who reject God, all those who reject Christ as salvation. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire." Friend, do you know Christ today as your Savior? Are a believer in what God has said? He requires by faith you believe Him and accept His Word. Let's stand together. Lord, we ask You to bless this invitation. Deal with our hearts. Help us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Help us to be people who believe the book. But Lord, help us to be people who study and who are not just people who say, "Well, I believe because my preacher believes." Or, "You ought to hear my preacher explain creation." Or, "You ought to hear our deacon that teaches Sunday school explain it." No, Lord, help us to be people that know what the Bible teaches and what You have revealed clearly, so that we might share it with others. We rub shoulders with people every day, Lord, and a lot of them just don't know. It's not they want to doubt You, they don't want to believe You, they just think other people think they know what they're talking about. So help us to be people that know what we believe and why we believe it, so we can share it with others. And bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.